In 2012, our church established a strategic ministry plan for 3 years, 2012, 13, and 14. And this morning, here at the beginning of 2013, I'm going to bring our church up to date on the progress of that plan. This is going to sort of be a state of the church address this morning, and I hope that you will listen carefully and that you will rejoice with me and praise the Lord with me. And at the same time, you would ask yourself if the Lord might want you to be involved in serving Him through the ministry of Community Bible Church. So one of the first things that I want to say is this, that I am amazed and I am grateful at what the Lord has accomplished in us and through us this year. This is the first time that our church had ever tried anything like long-range planning, and it actually worked. Praise the Lord, and I am grateful. You know, when you're the pastor, you sort of hope these things will pan out because it's going to be uncomfortable if it doesn't. I do believe that the Lord led us and that the Lord worked through us. And even though I don't want this to sound unspiritual, that feels good. That's a good feeling that, wow, the Lord has used us in some specific ways somehow, believe it or not, taking the time to pray and plan and ask God for wisdom. It turned out to be a good thing, and I am grateful. The Lord has blessed it. And then I want to take us to a specific passage of Scripture that I believe will give us some biblical reasons that we should serve God together. Biblical reasons that we should serve God together. So I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to the table of contents. I'm kind of joking, but I am going to preach this morning from the book of Haggai. And if you need to use the table of contents to find the minor prophet of Haggai, you shouldn't feel badly about it. It is difficult sometimes for me to find that book. It's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. So find it in the table of contents, turn to that page, or if you're one of our great Sunday school kids, you probably know exactly where it's at, right? About the third or fourth grade, our kids can learn to find things really fast in the Bible. Find the book of Haggai. And while you're finding the prophet Haggai, it's only two chapters, so you're not looking for much there. It's hard to find. While you're finding the book of Haggai, let me kind of give you the backstory on this little two-chapter book. First of all, in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, God chose Abraham and his descendants to be his chosen people. He was going to make them the people of Israel. They would multiply and they would grow and they would become a mighty nation. Eventually, the Savior of the world would come through Abraham's descendants. Within a couple of generations, towards the end of the book of Genesis, there are 70 Israelites. But they end up migrating down to Egypt to avoid a famine. 400 years of living in Egypt in something like an exile. They are so great in number, so God has already fulfilled his first promise that they would multiply and grow and become a mighty nation. They are so great in number that Pharaoh fears an uprising. He subjects them to slavery, and God then delivers them from slavery by the 10 plagues. God takes them to Sinai and gives them 10 commandments to live by. But then they wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. We talked about this actually last week because they refused to go where God wanted them to go. So last week we talked about God's got somewhere for you to go. The question is, are you going to go? And this week we could call this, God's got something for us to do. The question is, are we going to do it? Well, they didn't go where God wanted them to go, didn't do what God wanted them to do, and so therefore they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness. Eventually, God gave them a king, and they did okay under King David and under King Solomon, right? They did pretty well. Did okay there. But after that, they bounced back and forth from good king to bad king, from idolatry to truly worshiping God, from idolatry to revival. And it's kind of a slow, continual slide over the course of several generations towards evil idolatry, and ultimately bondage. And so God eventually gets fed up with it and sends them into exile, what history calls the Babylonian captivity. The king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, defeated God's people and destroyed their temple. And he ordered them to be deported, at least the majority of the population, to be deported to Babylon, and only left behind the old, the sick, and the poor. And this was more than just a military defeat. Without their temple, the people of Israel felt like they had lost their connection with God. They had lost their connection with God. And you see this in some of the Psalms. Some of the Psalms were written during this period. And you can just hear the emotion and the grief that overflows from their hearts. So you can follow along with me here on the screen for a few verses of Psalm 137. Psalm 137. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Now, Zion was the name of the hill that the temple was built upon. On the willows there we hung our lyres, for there our captors required of us a song and our tormentors mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? So what they're saying is, we can't sing one of the songs of Zion when the temple of Zion has been destroyed. Our hearts are too heavy. Our connection with God has been broken. We feel empty and destroyed, not only by military, not only by deportation, but in our hearts. Their hearts were broken. The people suffered for 70 years of exile, and then God opened a way for them to return home. Through Cyrus, the king of Persia, this is the story of Ezra, and Cyrus is named in the first couple of verses of the book of Ezra. God provided them a way to go home through the decree of Cyrus, and through the prophet Jeremiah, prior to the decree of Cyrus, God had commanded them to return. And they were going to return and rebuild. They were to rebuild their lives. They were to replant their crops. They were to replant their vineyards and their fruit groves, and they were to rebuild their temple, God's temple. They were to rebuild their place of connection to God. And so just a little side point here. Sometimes we need to rebuild our connection to God. Through our sin, through our idolatry, sometimes we damage our fellowship with God, and we need to rebuild it. We need to return to the place. We need to repent of the sins. And we need to rebuild our heart's fellowship with the Lord. So this story of the rebuilding is, as I mentioned, the book of Ezra. They returned and they rebuilt. They rebuilt their homes. They replanted their crops. However, they did not immediately rebuild the temple. And that's where Haggai and his message comes in. He is the prophet that God uses to call the people on the carpet for neglecting God's temple. So we're going to begin reading in chapter 1, Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse number 2. And what I'm going to do is kind of make a circle here. We're going to read from the beginning of the book, something towards the end of the book, and then something in the middle this morning. And your homework is to read all of it in between, sometime between next week and or between now and next week. So you kind of get the full picture. Haggai has several messages from the Lord, and we're going to kind of drop down into about three of them. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse number 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house, the temple, lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. So, number one, if we hoard ourselves and our resources, they are, and forgive my homemade word here, unblessed and dissatisfying. If we hoard ourselves and our energy, if we hoard ourselves and our resources, if we hoard ourselves and our time and effort, then we are unblessed and we are dissatisfied. God is taking His people to task for taking care of their business, but not taking care of His. They were not only rebuilding their houses, they were upgrading them. Verse number 4 mentions that they now had paneled houses. I don't know if you would recall this or not, but King David's palace was a paneled house. So this was not just rebuilding their houses. They are rebuilt them and now they're upgrading them. This was the ancient equivalent of cathedral ceilings and a hot tub. They were going overboard. And God is saying your crops and your fruit groves, they are unblessed because you are being selfish. You're not following through. You're not doing the work of the Lord. If we do not submit our resources to God, they're not blessed by God. If we are selfish with our time and energy, then we do not experience the smile of heaven. You know, some folks have more than enough. They have sufficient, but they're never satisfied. Others have much, much less, but they are continuously happy. It's almost irritating. What are you so happy about? You haven't got anything to be happy about. The difference is their relationship with God. They are receiving God's grace, and they're yielding their commitment and their service to God. To be happy and satisfied, you don't need a lot. You just need the blessing of God. And God's blessing can accompany very little in material terms. So if you are dissatisfied with life, you need to start by asking about your relationship with God. Are you submitting to Him, serving Him with your time, talents, and treasure? So number one, if we hoard ourselves and our resources, they are unblessed and dissatisfying. Number two, when we do submit ourselves and our resources to God, we can anticipate His blessing because of His promise. So first of all, we need to recognize that starting in verse number 12 of chapter 1, the people were stirred up to begin the rebuilding process. So take a look at verse number 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Zerubbabel was a civic leader, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, "I am with you, declares the Lord." And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel and the governor of Judah and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So God stirred them up to begin. They finally obeyed. And then in chapter 2, verse number 18 and 19, God commands them really to think carefully about this and make the connection between their obedience and God's blessing. So Haggai chapter 2 verse 18. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. And here's what is happening. They had been experiencing drought and economic recession. But when they obeyed God, God promised great blessings for them. He wanted them to mark their calendars. The 24th day of the ninth month. Mark your calendar, and then I want you to look back as you march through the rest of the year and the rest of the years and see how the blessings started to flow on that day when you laid the foundation of the temple of God. This is a promise that God's blessing will accompany our obedience. here at Community Bible Church, at your home, in your life, we can expect God's blessing as we obey Him and devote ourselves to His glory and His purposes and His work. So number one, if we hoard ourselves and our resources, then we are unblessed. If we relinquish them and if we serve the Lord, then number two, we can expect God's blessing because of God's promise. And then number three, we can serve God and give to God's work with confidence because of God's presence. Because of God's presence. So in between the beginning of the book, kind of taking them to task, and then the end of the book, which we just read, where God says, mark your calendar, expect a blessing. In between those two portions of the book, they begin the temple work. And if you kind of read between the lines and you know a little bit about the book of Ezra, they felt very discouraged. They felt very discouraged. And that happens to us. We get started. Maybe we even start with a bang, but the work starts to pile up. The results seem to be minimal, and we get discouraged. And that's what was happening with them. They laid the foundation, and there were a handful of people there who had seen the glory of Solomon's temple, and they wept. This is from the book of Ezra. They wept. And then in the book of Haggai, God says, does this new temple seem as nothing to you? Does it seem as nothing to you? And then God makes a promise, and He says, the glory of the second temple will be greater than the glory of the first temple. And then He gives them a motivational speech. After the work had piled up, the results seemed to be minimal, God gives them a motivational speech. And this is Haggai chapter 2, beginning in verse number 2. The word of the Lord comes to Haggai, and God says, speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Jehozadak, son of Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all of you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. By the way, just notice how he connects serving God with salvation. He says, I'm the same God that brought this nation out of Egypt, and because of that salvation, you can serve me effectively. If the God who is powerful enough to save us from our sins is behind us in our work, then great things can happen. God's words, work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, are a poetically beautiful promise that their work is going to amount to something because of God's presence with them. Sometimes we work and we work and we try to accomplish things. We try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We work and accomplish things completely on our own. And by the way, human ingenuity is absolutely amazing. We can get a lot done. But we don't pray, we don't trust, and we just work. Other times we're tempted to just sort of let go and let God. You know, we decide that if God wants it done, He's just going to have to do it Himself. But here is a command to both work and trust. Get going and expect God's grace. It is both a command and a promise. It is both an indicative and an imperative. God's going to be with us, so let's do something. And that is a great promise. When we follow the Lord's commands, when we serve Him, we can do so with confidence because God is with us. There's really nothing more amazing than seeing the Lord bless your work for Him. Seeing the Lord use you, knowing that it is God who is blessing the work, knowing that it is God who is with you when you work and when you love people and when you serve Him. It is absolutely amazing, and I hope that you are not sitting back and missing out on that privilege. So this applies to many areas, by the way, and I'm going to make the applications have to do with Community Bible Church and serving the Lord through the ministry of Community Bible Church. But, you know, that's not the end-all and be-all. Some of the missionaries in the room today rock cradles and serve their little ones and encourage them in the Lord. Okay, not all service to God has to flow through Community Bible Church. Amen? Okay, but some of it does need to flow through Community Bible Church, and there are blessings when we do serve Him. So I'm just going to go ahead and make those applications today, and you may need to remember to serve the Lord in some other area as well. As I started out by saying, last year we launched this 3-year strategic ministry plan. That was new for us. We'd never really done anything quite like it before. And nevertheless, it was good for us to pray and plan and seek the Lord for wisdom and lay out some long-range goals. Or I know those 3 years isn't super long-range, but for us that was long-range. And the first year has actually truly been blessed by the Lord. So I want us to look back over last year and ask ourselves, how did we work and how was God with us? Be grateful for the blessings. One of the ways that the Lord was with us was financially. Mid-year, many of you will remember this meeting, we were about $6,000 in the red in our operational budget. Now, we have some savings set aside, but nevertheless, we were dipping into that savings by $6,000. So operationally, in our budget, we were about $6,000 in the red. But on Friday, I received the end-of-year report for our finances, and we are $5,000 in the black. That is a $11,000 rebound for our church, and I am grateful to the Lord and to you for your generosity. But now I want you to you can close your Bibles at this point if you would like, and take out that strategic ministry plan from the bulletin. So I trust that you received a bulletin as you came in today. If you didn't, you sort of need one. Does anybody need a bulletin? Oh, looks like what great ushers and greeters we have. Amen. So you're going to kind of need to take a look at that strategic ministry plan and open it up. And you'll notice that we outlined each year's goals by 3 categories: outreach and missions, internal ministry and discipleship, and ministry support. Each one of those areas is important. We'll see as we go along. So let's take a look at 2012 for outreach and missions. Number 1, establish a children's club program. So a lot of planning and work went into that. And here are a couple of things that happened. First of all, the 3rd through the 5th grade class sponsored a couple of family fun nights in the church gym in the fall of 2012. And they were well intended, and it was an encouraging start there. And they can plan to continue doing those from time to time. A family fun night. Very kind of low-key and just a fun time to be together. And then, this past Friday night, our first children's club night was called Big Friday Night. And so that was, it wasn't quite brought in 2012, but all the planning and work was done, and we brought that in there this past Friday night for a once-a-month Big Friday Night event for our children. And then, next would be organize volunteers for card ministry to Jasper County Jail inmates. So about a dozen of our ladies are now involved in writing to the female inmates at Jasper County Jail, and that is truly a blessing. And if you're one of those ladies, way to go. And I know that probably there's a lot of in and out because inmates move in and out, and you may not always know who you're writing to. And some of your letters, I know some of your letters come back. But thank you for your faithfulness in doing that. And one of our men is also involved in writing to one of the inmates. And there's a particular need right now. There are typically over 50 men in jail at any given time, and about 12 to 18 women. So it's a little hard for us to cover the men, but there are some particular men that could especially be blessed by you writing them a letter. And if you're interested in that, see me, and we'll just kind of keep trucking with this ministry and expanding that. Now, another encouraging thing about the ministry at the Jasper County Jail has been that this past year, 4 inmates were saved and baptized right there in the jail. As far as the sheriff knows, he's been there for over 20 years. This is the first baptism that's ever happened in the Jasper County Jail. 4 inmates saved and baptized, so praise the Lord for that. And a number of others that made a commitment to Christ, trusting Him for their salvation, but just kind of baptism wasn't on their radar screen yet. So, established children's club ministry, organized some volunteers for a ministry, a card ministry, letter writing ministry to Jasper County Jail. And then establish a greeter ministry. And that has been happening. As you can see, everybody got a bulletin this morning. That's been happening faithfully week by week for the last several months. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who is making our place a welcoming place by greeting and others who are serving the Lord in other ways in this outreach and missions. You are working, and God is with you. And then next is internal ministry and discipleship. Internal ministry and discipleship. We were to schedule revival meetings for the fall. And we scheduled them, and then we canceled them. And I wish that we could have had revival meetings. But because of some of the financial concerns in the middle of the year, we canceled those revival meetings. However, I do anticipate moving forward with revival meetings just in a catch-up mode a little bit this year. And kind of cutting and pasting that out of 2012 and putting it in 2013. And it is my hope that we will be making a proposal regarding revival meetings at our next business meeting, January the 20th. So just next week in the evening, it is my hope that we will move forward and that we can make that proposal at our next business meeting. So, schedule revival meetings? No, we didn't. But we're looking forward to seeing what the Lord has for us this year. Evaluate the need for and the feasibility of establishing a permanent young adult class. And for the last several months, we have had a permanent young adult class. This is one of those areas where God's plans are better than ours. We wrote this down with particular language. We were going to evaluate the feasibility of having this class. Being honest, it might not be feasible. But we can evaluate it, and we can check it off the list if it's even if it's not feasible. But God's plans were better than our own. When we put this on the list, the couple that is now leading that class weren't even members of the church. But I believe God wanted this ministry as much or more than we did, and He sent us the workers. That is work for God is with you. Next on the list is organize an assistance network. And this is kind of one of those things that you would otherwise probably not know about. It is one of the things that's kind of behind the scenes. But for the first time this year, we just provided each one of our widow ladies with a list, kind of a call list. If you have a concern, a problem, anything from a leaky faucet to, you know, just need someone to pray with you, we provided them with this list so that they would have a list of deacons and elders and others that they could call upon when they have a need. And again, I know that's kind of behind the scenes, but it's the kind of thing that doesn't get done without planning and preparation. And then last on the list is ministry support. And those things have to do with our facilities and the website and some other things, but the facility is the first thing that anybody sees. I mean, they just drive down Halleck Street and they see the facility. They may not know anything about our church. And so some of these things, we want to just simply make our facility safe and welcoming and our website to be effective. So we wanted to resolve all the safety issues for the youth loft and obtain an occupancy permit, and that is not yet complete. It's quite an expensive and long-term project, but the deacons have been diligent to just kind of track along and accomplish something every year on that, and they continue to chip away on that project. So we can't quite check that one off the list, but it is a work in progress. And then rebuild and relaunch the church website. That was finished, I think, if I remember correctly, probably sometime in September. And I just want to take a minute to talk about this one. I've told some of you this story before, but this was my personal project. I created the old website, and so I had some specific ideas about the new one. So anyway, I was supposed to work on this, and we signed up for a particular relatively economical web hosting service that looked pretty good. I liked the finished products, samples that I saw, but I could not figure out how to use it. I couldn't do it. I'm no computer guru, but I can make it through life with my computer and so forth. I was very frustrated. I could not figure it out. You had to change the HTML code, and that's just way beyond me. So I couldn't do it. I was very frustrated. And then I prayed about it. Duh. Right? I prayed about it. And then I asked a friend. I said, how about your church website? And he said, you know what? You ought to ask our church secretary, because our church secretary is rebuilding our church website right now too. And so I know that was on a Thursday, and I can't remember if I immediately talked to the church secretary that Thursday or the next, but I do know this. I talked to her on a Thursday. She gave me the name of their web hosting company, and by that Friday afternoon, we had a working, basic, simple website, and it's been added to since then. But once again, that is, we work, and God is with us, especially when we pray. We also had on the list here to paint and redecorate the Sunday school rooms and the nursery. That has also been finished. If you haven't looked at it, by the way, if you haven't looked at it since the calligraphy was done in the nursery, you really need to see that. It is a blessing and an encouragement, and is absolutely beautiful. It's not just been redecorated, even in the Sunday school rooms. There's just nice things on the walls that make it very welcoming and encouraging for children and their parents to see. Thank you for everyone who helped with those ministries and those projects. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with us in your work. Now let's take a look at the next page, 2013. Outreach and missions. Again, outreach and missions. There is on our plan to create a plan for a fair or festival booth ministry, and then in the fall to launch that fair or festival booth ministry. And so we would like to have an outreach presence at some of the things like Touch of Dutch or Jasper County Fair or the Pumpkin Festival, I think, in Roselawn, and the Sandhill Crane Festival in Wheatfield, and the list actually could go on and on and on, and we won't necessarily do them all the very first year, but nevertheless, we would like to have an outreach presence in kind of those non-threatening ways to people. They're there to have fun. We want to kind of provide some way that they can consider our church and consider the Lord. We don't exactly know what that might look like. It could be anything. It could be anything from just a booth with a table with information about our church to street preaching style ministry. And you might think I'm a little crazy, but I actually have a long-term friend who does that very creatively and very well. And it's on the prayer list. That might be one of the ways that we could kind of use some art and some communication to really minister to some people. Next is create a plan for an adult missions trip in 2014. And sending a group of adults on a missions trip, possibly overseas, is a big deal. And so we need to have some idea where we're going and how we're going to serve. So we need to make some decisions this year in preparation for 2014. And then take our youth group on a stateside missions trip. Take our youth group on a stateside missions trip. And so we've already been doing some background planning for that. We've already decided that we will be going to St. Louis, Michigan. St. Louis, Michigan, and serving at the Baptist Children's Home there. The Lord has already provided the core leaders for that trip. I'm excited about going myself. Looking forward to our young people going along with that. And we are planning to serve that facility with some manual labor projects. We'll spend some of our time each day doing some just some labor for them to help them. But we also plan to reach out to their teen residents through a Youth Week style ministry that some of you are familiar with from past years. We're going to take our annual Youth Week on the road this year and share it with the young people in that community. Maybe God wants you to be involved in one of these things, one of these outreach ministries. Maybe your heart is being tugged in one of these areas. So, what does the Bible say? Work, for I am with you. Next is internal ministry and discipleship. Consider reestablishing a prayer meeting. What would the time and the place be? Or perhaps to establish a prayer team. So in the past, not currently, but in the past, we have had a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Right now, however, our primary prayer time is on Sunday nights. But it's combined with some other things. There's singing and devotional and sharing time and some other things. But we put this on the strategic ministry plan because we want to just make sure that we are prioritizing prayer enough. Maybe we don't need to be combining prayer with some other things. Maybe we need some specific time or times that are dedicated exclusively to prayer. We already have a monthly women's prayer meeting. We have a weekly men's prayer meeting. But maybe the Lord wants us to increase prayer. I mean, I don't think we should even say maybe, right? And how would the Lord want us to do that? We need to give that some consideration, make some decisions there. And then consider the best way to minister to younger families with kids. So we've thought in the past, we've had some occasional classes. We've thought about something like a parenting network. Again, we don't know exactly what the Lord may lead us towards, but we expect the Lord to direct us and help us. Why? Because when we work, the Lord is with us. And then ministry support for 2013 is to evaluate and improve church-wide promotion in the community. Sometimes we need to do a better job of telling the church about telling the community about our ministries, youth group, vacation Bible school, children's ministries, ladies and men's things. How we might do that, you know, maybe you can help make some of those decisions. Maybe you can help us do a better job of telling the community about what the Lord is doing here. And then, again, because the landscaping in the yard and the exterior of the building are one of the first things that anyone would see about our church, we want to make good first impressions, so we want to include a general landscape and lawn improvement plan. Probably not to all be completed in 2013, but at least to be begun. So I wonder if somehow Haggai chapter 2, verse 4, "Work, for I am with you," would intersect with you and with Community Bible Church here today. Would you be willing to participate in serving the Lord in one of these areas? So there's a couple of questions I want to ask you. Are you receiving ministry from Community Bible Church? Are you receiving ministry from Community Bible Church? Do the services help you worship the Lord? Are you listening to the preaching of the Word of God and applying it to your life? Are your kids receiving ministry, or maybe your grandkids receiving ministry from Sunday school? Are you learning from adult Bible fellowship? Maybe ladies' Bible study or men's heart murder. Is it a ministry to you? For goodness sake, I hope it is. I hope it is. I hope that you are receptive to the ministry and that the Lord is using it to meet your needs. And let me just kind of say this. We might use the sermons as an example. I can't tailor-make the sermons to meet absolutely every specific need of every heart. But I believe that the Holy Spirit can take the basic general sermon that I preach, and in between my mouth and your heart, the Holy Spirit can tailor-make that message, that truth, to apply to your heart. And that if you'll listen, and if I'm following the Word of God, and this applies to adult Bible fellowship and Sunday school and everything else, but just using as an example, if I am following the Word of God, that it will help you grow in Christ. And then the next question I want you to ask, not only are you receiving ministry from Community Bible Church, are you giving to the Lord? Am I giving to the Lord and serving the Lord through Community Bible Church? If you are receiving from the ministry, then you should be, and I should be, investing in the ministry through time, talents, and treasure. So you've probably been wondering what those sticky notes are for that are plugged in there to one of the pages. I want to ask you to take those off. Those are not really sticky notes. Those are strategic ministry sticky notes. All right? And I'd like for you to take a minute to consider what area of the strategic ministry plan that you would be willing to help with. I would like you to write those down, or maybe just it, maybe one thing that you would be willing to help with on those strategic ministry sticky notes. A couple of things I want you to remember. First of all, I kind of want you to write the same thing on each one, okay? Because you're going to keep one, and we're going to ask you to give one. So write the same thing down so you can remember what you wrote down. We are, again, hoping to pursue a series of revival meetings sometime in 2013, and there'll be some needs related to that. There'll be some planning and some promoting and some praying and some meal preparation that will be related to that. So that's not on 2013, but we remember we're cutting and pasting it and putting it in there from 2012. We also are seriously considering taking our children's club ministry outreach from a monthly ministry to a weekly ministry. And that's going to take some effort and some extra help. So if we are able to do that, if we're able to accomplish taking our children's club ministry from a monthly to a weekly, that would be another area, not on 2013, but could be included. On at least one of these strategic ministry sticky notes, I would like for you to write your name and be willing to give it to us. Here in a moment, we're going to pass the offering plates and take a little bit different kind of an offering. We're going to ask you just put that sticky note in there. Maybe it's just one area where you say, you know what, I am willing to be a part of what the Lord is doing here in this one area. You know, the Lord may not be tugging at your heart at this time. Doesn't mean you can't kind of get on board as the Lord does tug on your heart. But if there's something that you can write down on that sticky note, please do so. Give us your name, and we will have that as a way that we can get you involved in serving the Lord this way. Young people, if you're planning to go on the missions trip, write down youth missions trip. Adults, if you're willing to give a little money towards the youth missions trip, write give or a dollar sign and youth missions trip. If you're a young person or adult, but you would consider helping with the Fair Booth outreach, write that down. If you're interested in the adult missions trip that we're planning for 2014 and would like to be a part of the decision-making process, write that down. Look up and down the list. Here's one final thought as you're looking at that from the book of Haggai. One person could not rebuild the temple alone. In fact, God's promise of blessing was really on their united, collective obedience. It was when they all got on the same page and they moved together to obey the Lord. And I cannot, or you cannot, accomplish this strategic ministry plan alone. But I absolutely believe that God will bless our united purpose and effort. I'm going to give you just a couple of moments here to think and to seek the Lord and to write down any commitment that's on your heart, including your name. And then I'm going to pray and we'll take up this different kind of offering. When you're done, maybe just bow your head and close your eyes and talk to the Lord. But take the time to write out your commitment for this morning. Let me lead us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, number one, we want to thank you for your blessings in 2012. Some of those blessings were personal, and some of those blessings were corporate. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to start some new things, continue some other things. Thank you for allowing us to do some sprucing up in our facility and on the web. Thank you for answered prayer. And thank you that while we worked, you were with us. Thank you. Lord, I just would simply ask that you would take our commitments. Individually, they are each relatively small. But together, it does seem like you do great things. And we are thankful for that as well. Take these commitments and fulfill them, we pray. I bring about greater ministries in this church this year than last. And may we, by your grace, grow deeper in our personal walk with you. And may we grow in ministry. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.